Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome everybody to the Tommy and Hector Show with Loretta Blewett. This is Inter Mullingar.
Let the dogs be barking at the chickens until it's time to hit the Protestants, as my father used to always say as we were leaving the house. It's a dirty old day.
Oh.
Dirty, dank. But you were giving out about it. This kind of weather is okay. Perfect for running.
You go out.
It's perfect
come
for
back here in a half an hour and you drive around Galway, drive through the motorway and come back out here and say, ah, it's not a bad morning.
So
it's
do you want to,
rotten.
No, you see, Tommy doesn't have to move for this podcast.
It's a
Loretta.
stink.
Tommy doesn't see it because he's within the confines of his house
he's
all morning.
He's after coming out of his house slippers, his house shoes. And
so
going
if Tommy's in the house all morning, who is it that drops the daughter to school in Salt Hill?
Well, she probably was.
And
she
Tommy, that's only
walk.
A mile. That's a mile and a half. We're after coming 50.
I leave the house for the school drop at 23 minutes past 8. And I get back at 5 past 9.
Okay.
It's a 40 minute drive.
Okay. I'm not.
So I am out.
I won't dispute the fact that you might do a school
out, not
run.
Properly.
Loretta, can you tell us this morning the challenge you face on a podcast morning?
I have to say, nearly, I'd say 9 out of 10 mornings, it's been raining coming to Galway. So just to...
Yeah, that's no one's here's responsibility.
It's always raining in Galway is my point. And I left Mayo, wasn't that wet, came up the N17, raining, got on the motorway.
You're like an Alwyn on Joe Duffy.
No,
complaining about the snow.
No,
on
tell
the
me,
motorway,
I want to hear this.
Could hardly see the car in front of me with the rain.
That's what I want to hear. Were your wipers on full?
Full blast.
Oh, Jesus.
Does your car not have the wipers that come, that the windscreen decides itself when the wipers are to come on?
It does, but that's what I mean. It was on the full time because it was raining so heavy. I could barely see the car in front of me, couldn't really go fast, took ages to get here.
Lovely.
Ugh.
You had time to think.
Meanwhile, Tommy Coffee here has had his coffee. It's lovely and warm.
Did a crossword.
I am living in Clare Galway.
There's only one woman on the crossword this morning, Loretta, and it's you.
Took me, I left the house at 20 past 6 this morning to come 7 miles into Galway and I got here at 10 past 10.
Honestly.
Do you know, pop into, what's the name of that silly old shop you have in Clare Galway? Centre, is it? Did you pop in there for bread?
And milk.
Remember,
hang on a second.
Hang on.
He's just after calling one of the staple shops of the country. Where would the country be without Centra? Thank you, Super Value, for looking at the sponsorship in the future for our show.
Clare Galway is nothing but a couple of housing estates gathered around the Centra. That's what it is.
Around the church it is.
Now, Tommy, Clare Galway originally was a handball alley and the castle and the friary and the abbey. And yes, it did. It grew up around that. But now it's really grown up around Centra.
Build a supermarket and they shall come.
I mean, where would we be without the Centra? If you think, I think the statistic is...
We had no Centras growing up. We had a Spar.
Had you?
I think we had a Spar, did we?
No, there was no,
no
Spar.
No, just
in
a
Navin.
Local corner shop.
Navin was Dun Stores down. Dun Stores was the be all and end all. And then when Tesco's came to Navin, there was a queue for 6 days and 6 nights outside.
There was death in the streets. Riots.
There was riots trying to get down the shop.
They used a lot of the footage from the Navin riots for the RTE to talk about
Railing.
The LA riots.
There
was a truck driver from Slade who was pulled in off the truck and bet to death on Tribgate Street. You're not fucking coming here, you fucking Tesco cunt. And they buried him in the round tower out in Dunmore.
We didn't have that problem in Knockmore. We just
no
had
shops.
One shop.
Bartering.
One shop. Tony Handley's it was called. In the corner shop in Knockmore.
Tony Handley.
Tony. It's not. And what, it's Corcoran's now, but it used to be Tony Hanley's.
What a great name.
Did Corcoran's take it over?
They bought it, yeah.
Oh, what happened to Tony?
Tony died.
Lord of mercy on him.
Yeah, he couldn't keep it going.
Tony was a great servant and not more.
Tony Hanley, huh?
I don't know if we've discussed tattoos, but we might get to it on the podcast at some stage, but I just remembered, I was in Bali and we were shooting the Asian series and it was an absolutely magnificent place, Bali. Have you ever been in Bali?
No.
Tommy?
No.
And it's funny, a lot of Irish people would use Bali as a stop off on the way to Australia. But it's a paradise island. It is tropical. It is beautiful. There's yoga retreats. There's big beaches. It's spectacular. It's surfers. The Aussies love it.
And when you're over in a place like that now, do you think you get a chance to relax there, or when you're working, is it too? Are you too focused on the work to be able to get a real sense of the place?
Oh, no. I think we have it would be 7 or 8 days there. We would film 4 or 5 and then have a day off and try and relax. So we and try and take in the sights and the surf and get in the water and do all that sort of stuff. But we got picked up in a high-ace van in the airport in Bali and it was absolutely kicking hot. 3 Irish lads sweating. And we get into the back of the high-ace and it was like sitting in a lounge seat in a pub. And just sticking to it. Our driver was Darta. And he kept on saying, harmony, boys, harmony is what life is all about. So that was the whole ethos of the trip, harmony and getting into the highest for 7 days. So to finish the show, David Beckham had wore a sarong.
Oh, yes, remember
it was around
that.
The time Beckham had come out wearing a sarong, which is a Balinese-type skirt.
Yes.
So I said to myself, why don't I wear a Balinese-type skirt? I said it to Roscoe. We'll buy it off one of the beach vendors on the beach and I will take it off naked and Roscoe can follow me into the water as the end of the show under the sunset. So Roscoe said, yeah, that's cool. So I said, okay, but even we'll push it out further because on the beach there's loads of these henna tattooists.
Mm.
You like a tattoo? You want a tattoo? Would you like a tattoo? So I said, why don't I get the henna tattoo, the name of the show, on my bum? A moo. Sanosh, Amu Sanosh, one on one cheek, Sanosh on the other, to let go, to lose yourself, to get lost in Asia. Amu was the chain of series I was doing. So I said, the boys said, that's a great idea. So we pulled into the car park of the Hard Rock Hotel, about 32 degrees centigrade. And the boys went down to the beach to find a henna tattooist, while I was getting myself ready to get a tattoo on my arse. So the boys arrive back up to the Hard Rock Cafe car park and I'm baking and there's no aircon and the doors are open in the high ace. And then this little man called Freddie comes up and he's like, hello, hello. And he's like, and he had a little sort of a bag with him. He says, Freddie, this is Hector. I see, that's great. Freddie, you make a hand of tattoo for us, yeah? Right. He said, yes, no problem. Where you want it? I said, okay, Freddie, I want it on my arse. Here's it. Here's the writing. So I'd written it out on a piece of paper for him. So then the boy said, he said, yeah, no problem. This take 1 hour at least. So the two boys went off for a swim. Meanwhile, I'm trying to get comfortable in the back of a high ace.
How do they do a henna tattoo?
It's a little pen. It's a pen thing. It's they scrape it in and...
right. It's not just like a...
And no, it stays for a while.
They don't just paint it. Like it's half scraped, isn't it?
It's half scrapey, penny type thing. Wow. It stays for a few months. So I'm there, is this a good idea? So I was there, will I put my arse, will I lie on the passenger seat with my arse out or will I get into the back and just take down my pants and lie looking out the back door of the highest? So I take down my boxers, I take down my swimming shorts and he comes in through the front of the van and then he gets in through the two seats and then he nestles himself down and I have the doors of the highest van open and I'm above and I've got my arse like
cocked.
That, cocked. So then he starts, he goes, okay, you ready? So he starts off. And moo. And then about 50 minutes later, the boys come back and he's still on one side of the arse. So at this stage,
wow.
I'm like, this is ridiculous, lads. What is happening? I can't see it. I'm sweating. I am absolutely baking. And he said, well, no, nearly finished. I said, don't forget the father, Amu San Osh, Asia, Osh. And then I said, Freddie, by the way, are you married? He goes, yes, 8 children. I said, thanks be to God, because he was down at the bottom of my ass. He was there. It was a sacred moment. He was there for 2 hours. So we finally finished the shot. Get it. Pay your man a couple of quid. I run over to the beach. I have the sarong on. Roscoe goes, action. I was there. Oh, Tom. Well, it's Sinead O'Bally. Oh, it's all in paradise. Then Scott and Shusanosh. Win my John Tanabas. Fake and show. Tom. On Ishka Glan. August. August. Te. August. An Ishlesh and Green. A Gulchias. Slán, Cadhian, Chocton, Johogan, Eremus, and Osh, O'Bally, Mas Mordegalamagadi, O'Bally, Posse. And then I drop the sarong, Roscoe pans down onto my arse, and there's the name of the show, and he moves with me towards the water, and you can see the sun, the glistening of the water, and he's panning in on my arse, and then I just, and the red hair and the gingerness of me and the whiteness of me on the beach in Bali, and I just dive into the water. What a beautiful thing.
So Finale.
3 weeks later, we're in a hotel in Taiwan and we've a day off, and I'm there the night before. I'm scratching my arse a little bit during the night.
Oh, lads.
And then they're going, I'm just uncomfortable. So I have a day off. I'm in the 25th floor of the Hilton in Taiwan, in Taipei. And I go into the toilet, and just for a split second, I catch something. And I look and I go, what in the... What's that? What's that? And I turn it round, and my whole arse had gone on into this rash. Right? And I'm there going, oh, Jesus Christ. And I'm completely naked. And I'm trying to look into a mirror and have a look at my arse. And I'm going, what is this? It's this red, raw infection all over my... I was there going, Jesus Christ. Really itchy. And I ran in. I put on a pair of jocks. I ran into Roscoe's room. Roscoe, quick. He said, what's wrong? I says, come here. Next minute, drop me pants. And he goes, fuck, oh, Jesus Christ. What's that? I says, I don't know. What is it? He goes, it looks like you've an infection of the writing of your arse. And then he goes, hang on. I'll take a photo of it. So he takes a photo of my arse. My arse has now turned into a section of an henna tattoo. Oh. A moose and all shall turn into this raw, scabby, blistered infection. But it's in perfect writing. You can see the letters, but it's all infected. And he's there, man, that doesn't look good. And I was there, but can you read the name of the show? Can you? It's the name of the show. Yeah, he says you can read it all right. So I'm there going, oh, what the fuck is this? How the fuck is going on? My arse. Next minute, down to the hotel doctor. Next minute, the doctor. I'm in an office outside the reception area. Again, dropping down me pants, showing them my arse. This is weeks after getting a tattoo. Doctor says, no, I think you need to go to hospital. 15 minutes later, I'm in Taipei on my day off. I'm in the back of a car going to the hospital. I went to a dermatologist in the skin area, waiting in a waiting room. And next minute, I'm filling out passport forms and insurance and all this. And then this lovely doctor comes out and she goes, yes, please. So we're going to this tiny little room with a curtain pulled across. And she goes, hello, my name is Dr. Kim, whatever. And she goes, what seems to be the problem? I said, are you a dermatologist? And she goes, yeah. Well, have a look at this. So I stand up. Again, I'm dropping down the pants again. And she goes, oh, all right. I said, and she goes, what happened? And I went, well, I got this is the name of my show, by the way. It's called A Moose and Hush. It's with T.G. Catter in Ireland. And she's down on her hunkers at my arse looking at her. And then at that moment, I was saying to myself, it's a good job it wasn't called Beyond the Hall Door or something. And I'm trying to explain the name of the show to her. And she's down looking at it and taking samples of it. And she goes, no, not good. They're going, I'm going home in 2 weeks' time. And they're, what is wrong? She goes, very bad infection, really bad. She goes, you need an injections. You need some steroid injections, and then we need to get some steroid cream in it. So I had to have two separate injections, one in each arse. And then for about 3 weeks, I had to put the cream on it. And finally, the name of the show disappeared from me whole. Mothers.
Okay, all right. Will I go first?
How does it
feel? I want to talk about one of the great words of our society and one of the great pillars of society and one of the great cornerstones of family.
I'll bring you down a fucking dark road now here in a minute that we might
not. And I want us, and as I say, light the candle here. I want us to talk
about... Nick is going to spasm again.
I want us to talk about, openly, about mothers.
Mothers. Well, I think it's important to say that there's a lot of pressure on women. There's this kind of cliche in Irish society of that all mammies are fantastic and that, you know, everyone loves their mother and there's no such thing as good as a mother's love. And I just want to register the fact there are some women out there who do not want to be mothers. And there are some women out there to whom and motherhood doesn't suit them at all. And they end up
resenting their children and getting angry and fighting. And you know, and as my own mother said to me, Tom, I wish I'd never had children. So there are some women who just don't.
Yeah, I know.
Motherhood doesn't suit them. But there, and I think what happens is because there isn't a space in the culture for that to be, not celebrated is the wrong word, but for that to be acknowledged. There's a pressure on
to be the perfect mother.
And there's nowhere for you to say, not only am I a shit mother, but I really hate it.
Because it's not fucking easy.
I'll tell you a story now. A woman related to me.
Right.
Back the generations. She left school, grew up in, say, Boyle in County Roscommon. Was taken out of school when she was 12 and sent up to work up north in some kind of fancy house or in a factory or something like that. And, you know, back in them days, you had to find work for your children when they were young. And if you got them a job someplace, it didn't matter if they didn't like the fucking job or not. You went and their boarding was paid for, but they fucking worked. 12 years of age, sent off to this place anyway. At the age of about 17 or 18, a husband was found for her and she got married. She had three children and then ran away from home. So she would have been in her late 20s at this stage.
Right.
And ran away.
Wow.
Ran to London. Now,
Left them all.
Left the children, the husband, just out the door one morning and fucking gone.
And they never seen her again.
So the husband wasn't having this. The shame of it, like. Back in them days, it would have been the 50s for a fucking woman just to up and leave. And great bravery on this woman's part.
Oh, yeah.
To go, I can't fit in this fucking box of a house. I can't, this life is not good for me.
Mm-hmm.
So she just fucking went. Well, the husband lost the plot. Husband went to her family and said, you better bring her back here, and I don't give a fuck if it's roaring and screaming. Drag the bitch back by the fucking hair if you have to.
Oh my God.
So, they didn't. He went to London. Found her. Brought her back. And fucking more or less, you know, welded her to the fucking house. And she had two other children. And was the most kind of dynamically unhappy, raging is the wrong word, but kind of complicated, hurt, wounded creature. You know what I mean? And it's a fascinating story to me, that, isn't it?
Of course.
You could nearly make a film out of that.
You know, so it's just some women just aren't.
But that's why I'm
born to be mammies.
That's the
you
type
know?
Of thing. Motherhood and mothers. It can't all be rosy in the garden.
No.
And it's an incredibly hard job. I know fatherhood is hard, but motherhood and mothers,
fatherhood is difficult, but there's a cultural, if a dad fucks off, it's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, you know, and he, that bastard, he fucking what? He just disappeared and you don't have and he left you here with the four kids and you've no idea where he is. What? Fuck him. You're better off without him. Better fucking off without him.
Yeah.
He's bad fucking blood. He's bad news to you. And does he send any money? What the? Fuck him. Fuck him, Susan. You're better off without him. Fuck him. Okay. That's a story that the culture is
for. Heard it, yeah.
You heard. But.
The mother.
She did what?
She left them.
She just.
But wasn't that fascinating that he was able to find her in London as well? Like,
I suppose in the 50s, people.
There was only certain places you'd probably go and houses you'd stay in. And
what do you think of mothers, Loretta? Mothers. What's mother? What does mother mean to you? What's mothers? How would you describe mothers and mother? Any stories?
Well, I had a mother.
Yes. What?
So that was a positive start.
No way.
Well, yeah, I know. I lost my mother at Christmas, so it was a. It's still very hard to get your head around it, you know. You think that, and because she was sick, I got into a routine of taking her to the hospital once a month and to go and taking her to here and there. And so you got into that routine. It was just kind of gone like that, you know. But I think that, like, we're all lucky to have had, we had our mothers for a long time, you know, growing up. I always feel sorry for kids that are denied that by maybe sickness or whatever when they're young and they miss out on that. Like my little, I had a little neighbour who lost his mum when he was only three, you know, and like he has no memory of her, you know, and that's,
yeah, but that might have, he might, you know, that,
oh, he's a fine young man.
That might
man
have bothered him. You know, a friend of mine said one time,
I'm sure it bothers him because he never had it, and I'm sure when he was at school, and he used to say that when he was at school, all his friends were, you know, he just didn't have that, you know. So
a friend of mine said he's in his mid to late 60s, and he said the thing about being a parent is about getting ill and dying. He said was that if you have the feeling that your kids will survive your death, then you can go. You know, if you're of an age. And your children are of an age where you think, Jesus, if I died now, they would be fucking destroyed. He said, that's very difficult.
Yeah.
But if you have a sense of, it'd be hard on them, but they'll be fine actually when I die. You know, it's much easier.
Yeah.
I've lost my mum and my dad. So the feeling of losing my dad is a completely other, is a totally different feeling from losing my mother.
Yeah, like home isn't the same,
mother,
you know.
When my mother passed away only a couple of years ago, I felt a loneliness that I didn't feel when my dad had passed away.
But at that, you had, when your mom died, loneliness. You'd become an orphan. And people don't, adults, that's always a shock to an adult where they go, when both parents are dead, and you go, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. It was a stark reality that it's just me and my brothers left. But I felt a loneliness that my mother was gone from this world, and
there's an emptiness in the home, isn't there? Like
it was a totally different feeling. There was more. I don't know. Was it love? I don't know what it was. It was a boy thing as well. It was a son. My mother, my Irish mother, my mother, the mother of the house, the mum, my mum who did all for us, everything she did was for the boys, and that she was gone now, and I felt a totally different level of feeling and loss than I did when I lost my dad, which was totally other circumstances. But I felt for an Irish man and an Irish boy and that son that I am to my mother, it's totally different. I felt lonely that she was gone and that we were on our own.
Did
you feel that?
My mother used to do, all my ironing for me because I wasn't really good at it. So like I haven't had anything ironed since the 27th of December. So, you know, that's the problem. But like there is a huge gap in our life since my mother died. Like home, my dad's there and it's home and everything, but I find there's a coldness around home when she's not, when your mother's not there, isn't there? Because she creates what your home is, you know, the baking, the cooking,
the smell, the touch,
warmth,
the feel.
You know, and I for a girl or for a daughter losing their mother
what's that feeling like? Because
it's awful. I hate it.
Would you be able to empathize with those words that you from a boy losing their mother? Is it the same for a girl losing their mother? You know.
I don't know. It is awful, and I see my sisters have kids, and they miss out. You know, they miss her so much. You know, just for getting advice on their kids, and you know all that sort of stuff, but.
And would both of you have a sense, what sense of your mammies would she have?
In what way?
In the sense that they're dead. So what sense of them now do you have of your mother's presence? Or are you able to differentiate between the memory of your mother and an ongoing presence of your mother in your lives?
Oh, I think my mother, and Tommy, you know, knew my mum well, but Christ, she was a strong woman, a West of Ireland woman, and I it might feel silly, but I see bloody Robin Redbreast popping up and they come up to the bloody window in my house, and I'd be there. Do you know that silly thing that people say did you ever think of
that? I don't get that, and I wish I did, or I wish I had that I nearly feel guilty saying it, but like I don't, and I wish that it was there. You know, I feel like she's gone and I miss her, but I don't feel like if I talk to her, she's going to give me some sign back or, you know, I don't feel that. I wish I did, but I just feel like there's complete emptiness there and I miss her and she's gone and there's nothing. Of course, I've got great memories of her and she's left a great legacy with me and she brought us up so well and having respect for others and all of that. And I have all of that and I have all the memories and stuff, what I'm... I know. There's just a void there. That
still early, still early days. Yeah. Tommy, can I ask you then?
Mm.
And I know you. I didn't meet your mum too often.
No, well...
I don't think I met her.
Yeah. The thing about... My experience would be very different from the pair of you's experience now, in that my mother committed suicide. So for my mother, it was a thing of... It wasn't so much... I wouldn't say it was a relief, but it was expected. It was expected.
It was.
That at some stage, this was a possibility because she was in such kind of torment. So there are lots of people out there and it's so strange when you hear of people who commit suicide like my mother was 64.
When a mother does it,
yeah, but
that age bracket. Yeah.
But you kind of think that you've made your peace with life,
yeah.
You know, and
that you've got to grips with it. You know how to deal with it.
Yeah, and that dark dynamic struggle isn't there anymore.
Yeah,
so it's always a surprise when you hear, John Foley, age 71, and he killed himself. You're thinking, what the fuck has happened? Mm. That anyway. So with my mother, that process of suicide can be the culmination of a process of estrangement. So you spend all of your life pushing people away,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you're retreating into an isolation that doesn't include other people, you know. And so when my mother killed herself, it was almost like it wasn't a shock in the sense of someone that you're getting on great with and then they do it. It's like, this is a woman who struggled from the moment I knew her. And it was all the time kind of with great heart now and great warmth in her, but just unable.
Mm.
Unable to cope with stuff, you know.
Well, like retreated, like almost.
Yeah, and so would have used different things as coping mechanism, different kind of substances and stuff like that. And just kind of pushing kind of, and her sister, my Aunt Anya, also committed suicide.
Wow.
So there's a kind of and they talk about, I remember talking to somebody.
Was she younger when she did it, or?
My Aunt Anya, that was about 20 years ago. Okay. And my mother was about 10 years ago. So, and it's just but what I have noticed is that your relationship with people still goes on even after their deaths. So when someone has died, and even when they're alive, possibly, part of your relationship with them is memorial. So you're remembering things. And so say all you can call to mind are memories from your childhood that would be dark, but not dark in the sense of brutally violent or something like that, but just dark in the sense of maybe cold, or you notice the way other fellas get on with their mothers and you think, Jesus. And it's only till you see it as a possibility that you realise that you're missing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I get you, yeah.
But what I've noticed is that, so I would have a particular memory of being my mother's son, you know. But I find that relationship is changing. So the older I get, I feel as if the more compassion I'm getting for her.
Right, I get you, yeah.
So the older I am, I'm kind of thinking, Jesus, whereas if you talked to me 20 years ago when she was alive, there could have been a lot of anger there. If you talk to me, this is an awful thing now, but I remember when she died, I remember noticing this feeling inside me, I'm not going to give her the satisfaction of crying. Do you know what I mean?
That was building up in you for many, many years.
Yeah, but that's how kind of...
But you were angry.
Dynamic,
yeah, yeah.
The relationship
would
was.
Would you have struggled more then afterwards than, say, your siblings would have? Because may have had different relationships.
We all felt the same way. The only difference was that the girls shared something with my mother, which was every now and again she'd cook with them.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the four of us can really think of many warm memories. Of
motherly memories.
Yeah, and that was just the nature of it. And we didn't miss it, you know.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, we the four of us find it very difficult to understand why we were so angry, because we can't remember something specific.
No.
We can remember tiny little incidences, you know, but nothing
How
brutal.
Much of a struggle was it for your mum to run a normal household and to do the normal things? And was she able to run a household and run a family? Like, mothers are the multitasking of teenagers coming in from school, dinner ready, clothes washed, where's my football gear, what's this, can you give me a lift down here? Was she that type of mother?
My sense of it was that she managed that up until I was about 16, and then it just became more.
Wow.
So my brother, who's 9 years younger than me, he'd have vastly different experiences.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Would he have had a different
experience? My mother kind of went into a bit of a free fall.
Okay, so he would have seen it more.
He got the dirtier, uglier side of it. I was gone, and I was sent to boarding school when I was 16. I was fucking delighted to get out of the house.
There was like a weight lifted.
I was just gone, you know. Yeah. You know, that's not my business anymore, you know. But I've always a phenomenal amount of love for my mother.
And I suppose, as you said, as you get older, then you're
you learn to be more compassionate towards people. And God, the crater, like the dote that she would have suffered that much, and that her sister died that way, and for her to die the same way,
the power of the mind for her to decide that this was the option, because there's. With that suicide, which is pandemic at the moment, there's a million questions to be asked, and the families that are asking them questions will never get an answer.
I remember my friend's mum committed suicide as well, and she said, like, the mother was buried before they actually, were not annoyed with her and not angry with her for doing it. And it was only afterwards that they thought.
And how old is she?
She would have been in her late 50s.
It's always a shock, isn't it?
And when it's your...
Suicide doesn't care if you're 21, 64, black, white, tall, thin, rich, poor. Suicide is that little switch.
Yeah.
It's done.
But like she said, like the whole funeral, they were just so enraged with her for doing it, you know.
And was it a shock to them?
Yeah. Well, she hadn't been well, as it's a great line in Ireland, isn't it?
Yeah, the nerves are at her.
Yeah, she hadn't been well, and I suppose it's still a shock when it happens, because it's the reality of something so brutal happening in front of you, really. Like,
and to the another thing about it is that the finality of it, nothing more will happen in that person's life. So you imagine them as...
that you think you're having a bad day someday.
You can always turn it around.
And it gets better. Like a friend of mine did it when we were 18, you know, and you just think, oh God, we all had bad times when you're 18 and you've got stresses in your life that you think will never lift.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think about him often now, of what he would be like and where he would be, and he was always such a happy soul, you know, and you just think, God... such a shame. Like,
if any, I'm only saying this now because I've seen it on the television, but if anybody's affected by what we're talking about, I think there are
plenty of places.
Organizations out there and where you can get help. And
Lust for Life is a good one, Brezzy's thing, but there are
Pieta House, I think,
Aware, all of that.
Yeah,
so. Just to talk to someone, I suppose,
isn't it mad that obviously I wanted to bring up this topic on the podcast, and maybe I thought in the back of my head it. You know, because we have this stereo image of the brilliant mothers and happy families and all that. You have your situation where your mum was sick and you were bringing her to the hospital and blah, blah, blah. And Tommy, you spoke openly there about your situation. I spoke to my mother on a Sunday night and she was perfect. Oh, well, she had a chest infection. And then she didn't answer the phone the next day when I was on Today FM after, because she'd always answer the phone and say, that was a good show. I was filling in for Anton Savage. No answer. No answer at 1 o'clock, no answer at 2 o'clock. I spoke to her on the Sunday night from Camden Court Hotel, where I was staying for a week, filling in on Today FM. And then I drove to Navan and I walked in and found her. Isn't that mad?
And that's a shock.
I tell you how much of a shock
she was there on
a
Sunday and she wasn't there on a Monday.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you remember, you probably don't even remember this, but you walked into the room and you found your mum. And about 5 minutes after that, I phoned you. And I was phoning you from some sort of, on some kind of crack level, right? And so this is an amazing thing, how where people are in shock and what they do, right?
Of course,
So I phoned up and I can't remember, we must have been doing some sort of work at the time, or about to do some sort of work. And I says, hey, how's it going? Did you ever think of this? And he told me what happened. And he said, Tommy, I'm after walking in. And she's there in the bed. She's there in the bed, Tommy. And yeah, she's there. She's up. And you kept kind of repeating it over and over. She's in the bed, Tommy. And she's there. Yep. Myself and Freddie are just after walking in. Yep. Yep. And then I'll never forget you saying this line, because you were kind of, you were in shock. And part of being in shock is not really coping with what's happening. You kind of said, well, anyway, look, I better go now.
Yeah, I know, because you don't know what to say, don't you?
You're kind of like, well, look, should I be talking to you? Right, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. She's dead in the bed there. Look, I'll be talking to you. Good luck.
Well, there's a side of it that's so there practical is, then, yeah, you know, that you have to kick into practical
kick in
mode.
Within 15 minutes, I had Paddy Fitzsimons and the parish priest and then the apple tarts.
And the fucking lasagna and sandwiches.
And the
lasagna,
and the soup and the curries.
And everything. And it was just mad. And I just think that in this life that we're living, whether you whatever your relationship with
your fucking neck is still killing me. By the way,
whatever your relationship with your mother is,
tilt it over to the side.
We just want to say to the mothers of Ireland out there and to all mothers all over the world, we love you.
Tuur Aara.
Tuur Aara. Mind your mother. You've only got
mind
one.
Yourselves.
Mind yourselves. Mind your mother. Because you've only got
one.
What was Big Tom's
song? Song? Gentle Mother or something.
Mind your mother. Is it, what's the best
the song I love the most is in Father Ted when Owen McLove sings about my lovely Mayo Mammy.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's your favourite day of the week, would you say now?
Definitely Friday evening from 7 o'clock onwards.
What goes on then?
That's pretty specific.
That's pretty definite.
Because it's the weekend and the next morning you can... I know,
but what the
going
fuck have you been
Friday
doing
night.
All week though? No, seriously.
What about a lovely Monday?
You do fuck all during the week anyway. Why would you be tired of a Friday?
I used to like it, so now I just continue on with that.
Friday evening, 7 o'clock.
Get out.
Prawn Nationwide.
Yeah, yeah. Get ready to. I love going out on a Friday night. I absolutely love it because you can have the worst hangover and it's Saturday. Fine. I hate Sundays. Hate them.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
again, not that I do a whole pile on a Monday, but, you know, I don't.
Or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, but.
But I don't like. That's ingrained in us since we were kids. On a Sunday evening at 8:30, Glen Rowe would come on and you would be fucked because you either didn't have your homework done or the next morning was school and it wasn't a pleasant experience.
No. So at 7 of an evening Friday.
Yeah. All you're carefree Friday evenings at 7 o'clock. Specifically 7. Because if you're working, you're home by 6.
Good woman.
What's yours?
It depends on what era you're talking about now, what age you see.
I know, I think that's
a Friday evening at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock for a 16-year-old or a 21-year-old or a 50-year-old, they're all different dynamics there, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's still a very carefree time of the week. Like, you could be going to a football match. Mm. You could be just putting on the fire to watch telly for the night. You could be going out. You could have people around.
Very fond of a Tuesday morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because you know we're coming and you like us coming to visit?
No, it's because...
That was very definite.
I just like, there's a kind of a Monday, you'd have the weight of the week on your back of a Monday. But on Tuesday, it's like, now you decide what's happening. Like Monday, the days are in charge. Tuesday, you take control of the week. And I, as you know, I get up at 4:30 every morning.
Yes, we're aware of that.
To let the dog out.
To let the dog out.
Yes.
And
tell us about that.
I just love that. I love getting up that hour of the morning. The moon this morning at 6:30 was phenomenal. It was like the garden was floodlit. It was one of those. The Irish for moon is gealach. Is that right? The brightness.
Nice.
The brightness in the sky. That looked beautiful.
The moon has been spectacular the last couple of nights.
Full moon.
The
you
brightness
say.
And the green. The what that is.
That's
no.
Sun.
There's no other meaning to green. But I think the gealach is the brightness. It's fucking gorgeous. And the moon this morning was...
The light out of it.
It was phenomenal. It was like... It was a spaceship hovering above the garden.
So that meant it was
And I was
a
about
clear...
to be abducted and fellas doing experiments on me. Which has happened before, but we'll get into that another day. But it was so
morning.
Beautiful. And it wasn't raining this morning here in Barna. It was just beautiful, warm morning. And I was out in the garden for about an hour. Just... The stars were out. It was beautiful black. I knew that no one in the house would be getting up another hour or two. I could go up. I could wander around. I could do whatever. Just, yeah. Monday, the pressure of the week is ahead of you on a Monday. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And to be honest with you...
Monday, 11 o'clock is an awful time.
Nobody likes Mondays.
No, but and to be honest, Monday starts on Sunday.
It does.
That's when Monday starts.
Monday starts at about 8:20 on a Sunday night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it goes on until... Near the end of Monday.
You know that feeling at a Monday at about 10:15 and you feel as if you're up about 8 hours and you're flicking through the radio and you said, well, I have the first cup of tea of the day. It drags on, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a killer Monday. And if it's raining,
I like when
about
you get, what about Wednesday? What about Wednesday at about 4 o'clock Wednesday?
Mm. In the afternoon?
Yes.
No.
You know what you're having for dinner, which is a lovely thing
we
in
never
Ireland.
Know what we're having for dinner.
I know
what we're having for dinner.
We don't know till the van calls round.
And drops the box.
With the music.
What?
That's good. It's a surprise every day.
This woman comes round, Maura Bannihine, the van. And she
doesn't drop off ready-made dinners.
6 days a week, she does, yeah.
It's called Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
You pay for that, like, I don't know whether you're,
I forget what I order.
I don't know whether you're serious or, Tommy, please tell me, you don't order ready-to-make meals.
There's a woman down the road who said that she would love to make dinner for me
anytime nice.
I wanted. So I said, look, there's five...
Every day.
I said, there's five of us in the house, could you do 6 days a week? And she gulped and then... I know that it was done out of generosity and it's probably weighing on her a little bit now, just the effort of it. Because the kids
free.
Would be pernickety.
She's doing it for free.
The kids would be...
She's doing it for free, is she?
She said like...
She's dropping six meals a day, 6 days a week, five meals a day.
Yeah.
Out of generosity.
Yes.
That's a lot of Tupperware.
It's like when someone gives you an apple tart and you said, oh, can I have another one of them every day?
If somebody comes to my house with an apple tart, I fire it into the bin the minute they're gone.
Do you?
Oh, we can't eat it. Get rid of it. And then I hate this... Or put it in the fridge for a while. Put it in the fridge. Get rid of it.
Why do you like other people's apple tarts?
Because we'll have a little bit of it and then it's always there. Get rid of it.
So you're not going to eat it because you eat a little bit of it.
Yeah, because we're not big apple tart eaters in our house.
Oh, why not?
And you don't. And I hate these people. Put it in the press. We'll have that later on. 4 days later, it's there. Get rid of it. Out.
Nobody puts apple tarts in the press.
Or the fridge.
Where are you supposed to put them? On the worktop?
Yeah.
Besides where you make tea, just enticing you to eat it.
Anyway, Maura,
how
Wednesdays?
Long has she been doing this?
About 6 months.
It's nice.
Since the start of lockdown.
Tommy, you're only joking. You're telling me that you don't cook meals.
None of us in the house cook meals. On a Sunday, we eat out.
I'm on about during the week.
Oh,
you're
so she brings Maura, them 6 days and then you eat out.
We eat out on a Sunday. So she does Monday to Saturday.
She doesn't, Tommy. There's no way. You're only lying.
In fairness,
here.
The only thing
no,
he has in the
here.
Kitchen
this
is cups.
This is not normal.
He doesn't have any plates or anything.
So what she does is she comes.
No way. I'm going to check this with your missus. No way.
What'd
you have last night?
We had some kind of chicken with hot stuff and hot garlicky stuff in the middle of it. I didn't like it.
He's only lying here.
And does she give
roast potatoes
as well? Oh yeah,
the whole lot, yeah, everything.
And does she bring it on plates or does she?
She brings it on plates, and then what she does is she takes
she
the plates
up
from the previous day.
Oh yeah,
so
Meals on Wheels.
We've always one set of plates extra.
Yeah,
but the boys don't eat. One of the kids only eats white food.
White coloured food.
Yeah.
So chicken and potatoes. And
but he won't eat chicken.
Turnips.
So he just does, kind of spuds and cheese mainly.
What's our best pasta? What do they really look forward to from Maude of any kind?
She does amazing shepherd's pie. She puts a phenomenal amount of salt into it, which I love. Now, Yvonne has got, my wife has got the hump because it's
like
so tasty.
All right.
You know. But that's, more.
6 days a week. Can I just get this, clarify this here?
For nothing as well.
And do you feel bad now after six months that she's bringing it and you're not giving her anything?
I don't feel bad, but I do notice that her husband kind of...
is getting annoyed.
I meet him up at GA training and he's not...
doesn't really talk to you
anymore. No, I think she's run ragged with it.
That's 100.
She probably has about 6 kids at home herself, does she?
I don't know where she. I don't know anything about her, really.
Okay.
But you wouldn't get to know her.
So Maude of any kind is coming down with 30 meals a week. That's 120 a month. That's 740 meals every 6 months for free to your house.
I'm dying over here.
I tell you, 740.
If you rang her ahead now and said that we were staying today for the dinner, would she put an extra two in?
I could do it for tomorrow, but not for today.
When is the last time you cooked on a Wednesday or a Tuesday at 7 o'clock?
Before lockdown, February.
I have tears coming down my eyes.
It's not reality.
I like Maura. I wouldn't mind if there's any neighbours of mine listening to the podcast and they want to make dinner for me.
This is fantasy land here. That's it. Another week on the Tommy and Hector Show with Loretta Blewett. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you all for subscribing and downloading, not only here in Ireland, but all over the world on Apple and Spotify, on iTunes, on Google Play. We are over the moon with the way it's going. That's it. We have to say goodbye. We will see you next week. Mas morda galamagadi and hen house posse.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.